Dear Xingren, it was a pleasure meeting you. Forgive me for not getting in touch sooner after leaving Auntie Phoebe's house that day. First of all, I want to say that I feel very conflicted. What you said about our shared responsibility to help future generations understand history really moved me. We are the same age, and we share the same fear that our children will never truly understand what their parents and grandparents lived through. I too long for them to understand the history of our country and the history of their families. But can we speak clearly? Will they believe a version of history so different from the one they hear in their classrooms? Just over 20 years ago, I persuaded my father to record the story of his life. Since we met, I've been considering whether I might share these recordings with you. It'd be not so much sharing a story as sharing a heavy burden. My father passed away in the summer of 2017, while I was studying in the United States. Not only did it take my mother 2 weeks to call to tell me, but she also refused to let me come back home straight away. I'd have to wait for the party to carry out all the official procedures, she told me, and do everything that needed to be done. I knew both my parents had agreed to donate their bodies to medical science, and that we were not allowed to ask about my father's work. But I had never anticipated that when he died, it would be his work unit that took care of the arrangements, or that we, his own family, would have no say in the matter. It wasn't until my studies had finished that autumn that my mother said I could come back, and I rushed home. What happened next left me shattered and has been seared in my mind ever since. I've lived with it for more than a year now, hoping against hope to find someone who could help me comprehend it and share its burden. The conversation you and I had in Beijing made me think you might understand better than my own friends. For I have been so shocked by my father's secrets that my own family is one I no longer recognize. Since my father left the army in 1989, my parents had lived in a military retirement home in a historic city in the foothills of Phoenix Mountain in Jiangnan. More than 360 high-ranking ex-military officers live out their final years there, surrounded by nature in a row of residences resembling a barracks. It is a world unto itself, far removed from the current political turmoil and anxiety over how the future will play out. The residents are more concerned about living to a ripe old age and how they'll be remembered when they're gone. It was dusk when I arrived. My younger brother, Frost, a workaholic and lifelong bachelor, was away on business. There was little evidence in the apartment of father's death, barring some sheets of paper fastened across the doors of two rooms to seal them closed. Across his bedroom door, my parents slept in different rooms, was stuck the front page of the local newspaper from the day he died. On the door of his study was pasted his obituary. The latter was an A4-sized military document containing details of his dazzling career and some concluding remarks from the party. It was signed by the chief of the Joint Staff Department of the Central Military Commission. One final honor. Mother had aged a great deal, but was as quiet as ever. As far back as I could remember, she was a woman rarely seen or heard, even in her own home. Before dinner, she saw me standing in front of the study staring at the paper seal. "You can go in," she said. "Can I?" I looked at her expectantly. "Go ahead. It's waiting for you." "Why don't we both do it?" I was hoping Mother would break the seal herself. She must have stuck it there in the first place. "I couldn't before, and I don't want to now," said Mother, turning and walking away.